Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Fatal Conceit, The Errors of Socialism is a late work by F.A. Hayek, one of the most influential economists and political philosophers of the 20th century. Published in 1988, it is a compact but ambitious critique of socialism, central planning, and the broader belief that social and economic life can be deliberately engineered from above. Hayek argues that modern civilization depends on an evolved order built through private property, markets, competition, and inherited moral rules rather than through conscious design. The book belongs to economics and political philosophy, but it also reaches into social theory and the history of institutions. Its purpose is not simply to defend capitalism in the abstract, it is to explain why decentralized systems are able to coordinate knowledge that no planner can fully possess. Because of that, the book remains important for readers interested in the limits of government control, the role of prices, and the way complex societies actually function. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hayek's central target is the belief that society can be designed like a machine. The core argument of the book is that socialism rests on a mistaken confidence in deliberate construction. Hayek calls this a fatal conceit because it assumes that planners can understand and coordinate the full complexity of social life better than the evolved institutions that already exist. He does not deny that societies change or that reforms can be useful. Instead, he challenges the assumption that a central authority can replace the spontaneous organization of a market order with a superior blueprint. For Hayek, the danger lies in treating social order as if it were an invention rather than the result of long development. That distinction matters because a designed system can be judged by intentions, while an evolved system must be judged by its ability to cope with real-world complexity. This is why the book is less a narrow policy pamphlet than a critique of constructivist rationalism, the idea that human reason can fully redesign society from first principles. Secondly, the knowledge problem explains why centralized planning cannot match market coordination. One of Hayek's most important claims is that knowledge in society is dispersed. No single person or agency knows enough about local conditions, preferences, technologies, and changing circumstances to direct the economy efficiently. In everyday life, each participant holds fragmentary information that is often tacit, practical, and context-specific. Markets solve this problem not by eliminating ignorance, but by using price signals to communicate useful information across countless decision makers. Prices convey scarcity, demand, and opportunity in a compressed form that planners cannot easily reproduce. This is why Hayek sees central planning as fundamentally limited. Even well-intentioned administrators cannot collect or process the full range of knowledge embedded in millions of individual decisions. The point is not merely that governments make mistakes, but that the problem is structural. A decentralized system can adapt continuously because it allows knowledge to be used where it is available, rather than forcing it through a single hierarchy. Thirdly, the extended order shows how markets, property, and institutions evolve together. Hayek argues that modern civilization depends on what he calls the extended order, a large-scale social system that goes far beyond face-to-face relations. In this order, private property, exchange, money, competition, and legal norms work together to coordinate strangers across wide geographical and social distances. He presents this arrangement as the outcome of cultural evolution rather than conscious invention. Human groups survived and prospered when they adopted rules that supported trade, savings, investment, and stable expectations. Over time, these rules became embedded in institutions and traditions that often feel unintuitive or even morally restrictive. Hayek stresses that this is precisely why the extended order is hard to understand. Its benefits are not always visible at the level of individual intention. What matters is its capacity to sustain growth and cooperation on a scale no tribal or command-based system can match. The book, therefore, defends market institutions not as perfect, but as historically tested arrangements that enabled civilization to expand beyond small personal communities. Fourthly, Hayek contrasts evolved moral rules with tribal instincts and socialist ideals. A distinctive part of the book is its moral and cultural argument. Hayek does not describe socialism only as an economic mistake. He also sees it as a regression toward older tribal habits. In small groups, people rely on direct solidarity, shared purpose, and visible redistribution. Those instincts can be morally attractive, but Hayek argues that they are not suited to a complex open society. Modern civilization requires rules such as property rights, contractual obligation, and impersonal exchange, even when those rules feel less emotionally satisfying than the moral language of equality or communal sharing. His point is that a free society depends on habits that restrain immediate impulses in favor of long-term coordination. This is also why he insists that traditions should not be dismissed simply because they were not consciously designed. Some norms persist because they solve problems that individuals do not fully see. Hayek therefore treats socialist moral appeals with skepticism, especially when they ignore the institutional conditions that make advanced civilization possible. Lastly, the book's lasting value lies in its warning about reform, humility, and the limits of reason. The Fatal Conceit remains influential because it gives a broad philosophical warning about overconfidence in political and economic planning. Hayek does not argue that all change is bad. He allows for piecemeal criticism and gradual reform, provided that reformers respect the complexity of the system they are trying to alter. What he rejects is the belief that justice, equality, or efficiency can be imposed wholesale through administrative power without damaging the institutional foundations on which prosperity depends. This makes the book useful far beyond debates about socialism in the narrow historical sense. It speaks to any policy environment in which experts promise total control, simplified solutions, or morally satisfying interventions without accounting for unintended consequences. The work stands out because it combines economics, social philosophy, and cultural evolution into a single critique of central planning. Compared with shorter polemics, it is more theoretical and more searching about why free societies arise and why they are difficult to preserve. In conclusion, readers who should turn to The Fatal Conceit are those interested in economics, political theory, intellectual history, and the limits of expert planning. It is especially useful for students of Hayek, classical liberalism, and the broader debate over markets versus central control. The book offers practical value by explaining why prices, property rights, and decentralized decision-making are not ideological preferences alone, but mechanisms that solve real informational problems. It also offers intellectual value by linking economic organization to moral norms and cultural evolution, showing that institutions cannot be judged only by immediate intentions. What sets it apart from many books on socialism is that it does not merely denounce state planning. It explains the deeper reasons planning fails in complex societies. Compared with more technical economics texts, it is more philosophical and civilizational in scope. Compared with ordinary anti-socialist arguments, it is more concerned with knowledge, evolution, and spontaneous order. That combination makes it one of Hayek's most important and durable statements. If you would like to support F.A. Hayek, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.